You know, over at Northview, when I was there, we talked about how the greatest command was sort of, that's Northview's song. That's a song we just sing and we wrap arms and that was sort of our song as a congregation. You know, I feel like Reckless Love is Cornerstone's song. You know, it's just, man, I just appreciate the team and Carly, just the amazing job you do just getting us in the spirit. And so I'm excited to share as we take the Lord's Supper today. You know, every week we come together and we take the Lord's Supper. This week, being particularly special, I'd say, given what's coming up. So, you ever wondered, how come Easter's on a different day every year? I've wondered that, you know? How come it's in March sometimes, sometimes it's in April, and I always wonder, like, who's making this calendar? Like, why can't we just pick one day and stick to it? So I did a little bit of research, and apparently Easter always is going to fall on the first Sunday after the full moon date, based on mathematical calculations that falls on or after March 21st. If the full moon is on a Sunday, Easter is celebrated on the following Sunday. And so basically, between now, they've done some calculations, and between now and the year 2400, Easter is always going to fall between March 22nd and April 25th. And yeah, and so it just changes, you know. But the point that I was thinking about this week is it's not so much when Easter falls, but why Easter falls. Why do we celebrate Easter? And the point is that we want to celebrate the one they have pierced. So I don't really have a message. I basically just want to read several scriptures talking about the one they have pierced. Go to the next slide. So back over in the Old Testament in Zechariah, it talks about how we need to look to the one they have pierced. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me," or they will look to me, "the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." Look to the one they pierced. How was he pierced? Over in Psalm chapter 22, it says this, "Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." Why was he pierced? "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." When was he pierced? Since it was a preparation day, the Jews did not want the bodies to remain on the cross on the Sabbath. For that Sabbath was a special day. They requested that Pilate have the men's legs broken and that their bodies be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other one who had been crucified with him. When they came to Jesus, they did not break his legs, since they saw that he was already dead. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you may also believe. His testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth. For these things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." Also, another scripture says, "They will look at the one they pierced." And so in a moment, we're going to take the bread that represents his broken body. and the fruit of the vine that represents his blood that was poured out for us. Let us think about the one who was pierced. As a matter of fact, not just today, but all week long, let's reflect on the one who was pierced for our sins, for our iniquities, crushed for our shortcomings. I want you to really focus on the idea that Jesus was crucified. He was pierced through his flesh for our sins. And as you think about that, don't just reflect on the fact that he was pierced and died. Because the good news is, the gospel is, he was raised again. So the last verse I want to look at is a reminder for all of us that the one who was pierced is returning. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us," he loves us with reckless love, "to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him." Imagine what that'll be like for the Roman soldiers, for Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas and Annas, and the Sanhedrin, to see the one that they pierced. Imagine the soldier himself who physically put the 9-inch nails into his hands and into his feet. But the important thing for us to remember is it's not just about them who were there on that day. He was pierced on our behalf. And so we're going to see him too, even those who pierced him. And it says, "And all peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." Let's pray as we take the Lord's Supper.